I know you're very excited about the future and some of the trends that we're seeing now that are beginning to emerge about the new green paradigm, as you call it. One more question about the old paradigm, the Industrial Revolution, and how that might be typified in the way it's affecting humanity through one kind of work, and that kind of work has we refer to as war.
Well, it seems to me when history of the 20th century is looked back upon or written, this will be remembered as the century that raised war to a whole new art form, and with the incredible assistance of technology and science, we've really gotten good at it. But what's awaiting us? What's the 21st century demand of us? What does Earth demand of us? I think it demands that we take a look at the human heart, because the human heart is a cause of war. For example, studies show that Hitler, was beaten daily by his father. So if Hitler had not, if he had had a way of dealing with his grief and anger as a child and a youth, there probably wouldn't have been a Second World War. And Bosnia is being caused, you talk to people there, it's being caused by resentment. Resentment from these various communities there, religious and ethnic resentment. And so resentment is the cause of the war in Bosnia. And there's something in the human heart that is causing us to tear down rainforests and to destroy the soil and so forth. So I think the future work at this time in history essentially is going to be work on the human species. We have to pay attention to the pain and the suffering and the resentment in the human heart and do something about it, do that kind of cleanup that's going on. Otherwise, we're going to be set up for more wars, wars against in nature and the earth, just as we've spent the 20th century warring against country and ideology against ideology.
By phone from California, we're talking with Matthew Fox, the author of The Reinvention of Work, A New Vision of Livelihood for Our Time, published by Harper San Francisco. I'm Paul Nelson. And we know from hearing an average newscast or reading an average newspaper that our society might be called morally challenged. And the work you're talking about, which is a work that needs to be done by practically everybody on the planet, is inner work. So tell us about how inner work plays a part of the change in the way that we view work.
I like that phrase of yours, morally challenged. I haven't heard that one before. That's good. Right. Part of the Industrial Revolution is that it really is an outer work process. I mean, a machine as such doesn't have an inner life. It's about parts and machinery. But we do have an inner life. That is to say, we have feelings, we have memories, we have hopes, dreams, passions, beliefs, affection, and all this need to be paid attention to. We have this wonderful phrase in America today, get a life, but I would alter that slightly to say get an inner life. That is to say, start paying attention to joy in your life, the need for it, how you experience it, and how you pass it on to others. Joy is, I think, the road into the heart, into the inner life, and we have a right to it and a need for it. If we don't pay attention to our joys and to our pain and sorrow and grief, then we're going to be set up for addictions of all kinds, whether it's consumerism or television or alcohol or drugs. We can make an addiction out of anything in our culture, and the reason we do is that we're striving to get away from our inner life. We're striving, it hurts too much perhaps to pay attention to the grief, the pain, the anger that's inside, or it hurts too much to look for the joy that perhaps we don't have yet or we've lost. But that's where we need one another, and that's where we need some spiritual traditions and forms and rituals that can help us to heal ourselves and pay attention to that inner person.
And the mystics have helped you in your inner work. Aquinas comes to mind, who you quote many times in the book. Tell us how he's personally, his work has helped you, and how the mystics need to be used to help us in our inner work.
Yes, Paul, I've read the mystics East and West for many, many years because they do help me, and I never really asked why. I just knew they did, kind of like a good friend or something. But one theme that struck me in reading the mystics, East and West, is how often they talk about work and what profound things they have to say about work. And this kind of belies a caricature we have of mystics, people who withdraw from the world or stand on their head all day or look at their belly button or something. Really, the mystical tradition is telling us to pay attention to work. I mean, this is where so much of our energy goes. This is where we can really be instruments of social transformation, or we get turned into couch potatoes because our work is too painful for us to stomach. So one lesson that the mystics teach is to enjoy our work. The Tao Te Ching, the Chinese scriptures say, in work, do what you enjoy. Thomas Aquinas, the Western saint, 13th century saint, he also says that we should delight in the joy that our work gives us and gives others. And he says that work really comes from the depths of our being. It's an expression of our being and of our life, therefore. So I really like his teaching about work, that it's connected to the work of the universe, the great work. The 20th century poet Rilke says, somewhere there is an ancient enmity between the great work and our daily lives. So there's really only one work going on in the universe, and that's the work of the universe, the unfolding of creation. And we're supposed to be a part of it. If we get on board and connect to it, then we're going to feel a real connection to something important in our lives, and our work will not be trivial.
And it has to do with creativity. And in the book you say, creativity is a grace. Tell us about that.
Well, that's right. That I'm convinced that without creativity, we dry up in our work. I think that the only work that is really human somehow taps into our creative powers and process. I think that humans really aren't satisfied until we become creators of some kind. And work ought to be a space that makes that possible. Now, there are many people today who are reinventing work in all kinds of professional workplaces and not unprofessional workplaces. They're taking these ideas of spirituality today, the new cosmology from science, new creation story, and they're reinventing business, for example. They're reinventing education, psychology, agriculture, politics, religion, and so forth. And this should give us all hope that it is possible to make a change in our work world.
Getting back to the mystics and getting back to the concept of wisdom, I'd like to be able to figure out how to apply wisdom in the information age. You know, we're in the information age, and everybody thinks more information is better, but what's lost in all this information and many of these meaningless statistics, whether they be batting averages or earned run averages or what have you, what's missing is wisdom in the information age. How are we going to get back to that and make that a regular part of our daily habit?
Well, that's a very good question. It really comes down to the question, if the media and if the means we have for communicating knowledge today is capable of all this information, is it capable of wisdom? Because wisdom is not just information. You might even say wisdom is the missing information. It's that perspective on life that does not necessarily come, as you say, with statistics and so forth. It comes from silence. It comes from listening with the heart. It comes from play. It comes from connecting and having a sense of nature, a connection to nature. Wisdom in around the world is usually pictured as feminine, the great mother, the great Manya Mata, the great mother of the sea, for example. In the Christian tradition, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is called the seed of wisdom. And so wisdom's not the same as knowledge. And the Industrial Revolution, the modern era, filled us with knowledge in school and, as you say, with television's information and the media and so forth. But that's not the same as wisdom. Wisdom has something to do with heart knowledge, and it has to do with values and justice and passion. And why do we live at all? What really is the joy in life? Where is the celebration of life? All these questions come out of the wisdom traditions of the world, which are, as I say, invariably feminist traditions and even goddess traditions, where creativity is honored and where nature is respected as a source of truth and of lessons to teach us. There's an interesting book that came out this year called The Age of Missing Information by a fellow named McKibben, and it's an amazing book. He spent 24 hours having friends collect all the television programs, and is in Virginia where they have a huge satellite dish, and so forth, something like 44 different channels. They collected all the television for 24-hour period. And then he watched, sat through it all to write this book. But in addition, he went to a pond up in the mountains for 24 hours as well. So in this book, he contrasts the information you get from television in 24 hours to what he learned sitting at a pond and swimming in a pond in 24 hours and sleeping under the stars there. And that's where he got the title, Missing Information, that nature teaches us wisdom, but that the media it gives us a lot of information, but a lot of it is the real information about life that wisdom gives is missing. So it's misinformation.
We're talking with Matthew Fox, the author of The Reinvention of Work, A New Vision of Livelihood for Our Time. It's published by Harper San Francisco. Well, now a chance to talk about the future as we wrap up the interview. How will our idea of wealth be different in the future?
Our idea of wealth?
Yeah.
I think wealth is going to be less anthropocentric, that is, less humanly defined and human-centered. I mean, today if you ask me what is wealth, I usually say stocks and bonds and gold and real estate. But I think wealth is essentially health, the health of the planet, the health of our minds and bodies and hearts and spirits. And I think that's what we should be investing in, if you want to use that term. I think we should be reinventing forms of education, for example, so that children at an early age get into their sense of wellness, begin to understand the mystery and the wonder of their bodies, and so that we don't turn our bodies over to professionals when we get older exclusively in the medical profession, but that we have our own sense of understanding of our bodies and wonder at our bodies, and of course our minds too. Learning itself is a spiritual experience, and somehow I think education has deadened it and takes the joy out of learning. I think we live in a culture where we've separated religion from spirituality and learning from education and justice from law, and just for starters. And I think that demonstrates that we have to reinvent our work, because we have to reinvent our professions if we're going to, I think, have a healthy culture.
So there's a lot of work to do, and what kinds of work are we going to be doing in the future, in your view?
Well, your point is so well taken. There's a lot of work to do. So unemployment is simply intolerable, and we tolerate it because we're still defining work in this narrow industrial way. I think one way we'll be working in the future, if I'm right about the need to work on the human heart, on the human species, then ritual is going to be a tremendous, almost a new industry, because in ritual is where the people, a community, get together and they celebrate one another's gifts, celebrate differences, help one another grieve, move to new stages in our life, rites of passage for young people and others as we move on from one situation to another. There's so much, and of course, celebrating the new creation story that we're getting from science. This can only really be done in ritual because it's too big for our classrooms, if you will, our academic models of education. The heart has to be included in the body, too. So I think ritual is a tremendous place where people are going to learn to celebrate again, to heal, to come alive. And when that energy gets unleashed, then there'll be energy to reinvent everything from healthcare to politics to education and so forth.
We could do an interview regarding every chapter of this book, and unfortunately we have to wrap up at this time, but thank you so much for being a part of the program.
Well, thank you, Paul. Thank you for your interesting and profound questions.
Thanks. Matthew Fox has been our guest, the author of The Reinvention of Work, A New Vision of Livelihood for Our Time. It's published by Harper San Francisco.